Welcome to The Word Made Plain with Senior Pastor Tony Clark of Calvary Chapel Newport News in Virginia. Currently, Pastor Tony is teaching a study in the book of Acts. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 14, verses 17 through 18.
A father, because it reminds him of a father who either walked out on him or a father who was never there. And there's a father boy, which is a violation of the fifth commandment. It says you shall honor your father and your mother. He's not worthy of my honor and respect. Yet the Bible doesn't say honor your father and mother if they're worthy of it. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that at all. Because they gave you life. There's an honor that's due them. Because they gave you life. Oh, they're going to give an account for how they raised you and or how they were there for you or wasn't there for you. But the thing is, you're called to honor. You know what honor means? So honor is a word that means to obey and to respect. I don't respect. You got to earn respect. That's that today mentality. Get out of here with that. You got to earn respect. Get out of here. This is the generation here. And this is what they say. And it's because people saying that this generation is because there's a father void in their lives, and which is a violation of the fifth commandment. Oh, I didn't say that first service, so somebody needs to hear that in here. Somebody needs to hear it. Millennials, you need to hear it. Those of you who didn't have fathers in your life, you need to hear that. Or you say, nowadays, even mothers are fooling around. Not there, you know, bringing a bunch of guys around. Just crazy stuff. This is a crazy world we live in. I talked about that at the end of first service, so I don't know if I'm going to get to it this time, but this nutty world we live in. It's nutty. So here's the thing. When we don't honor our parents or when we covet, when we covet what someone has, you know what covet means? Covet means to be materialistic or to be greedy for gain. Oh, it sounds like American life. Life here in America. You know, it was covet, this 10th commandment, it was covetousness that nailed the Apostle Paul. He said, I have not known sin but by the law. I have not known sin unless the law says thou shalt not covet. He said it was covetousness that nailed him. To be materialistic, greedy for gain. You know, I think this is one commandment that we, especially here in America, we just, so what? Ooh, I just want that house. Let that house. I want that house. Oh, that's a bad car right there. I'm going to get me one in about a year. Oh, I must have those pair of shoes. It's a must. I am going to get those pair. Girl, where you get those from? I want one just like it. See, covetousness. And we think nothing of it, but it's a violation of the 10th commandment. See, because God, the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. See, God wants us to be content with what we have. But we're never content here in America. You know why? The Bible says the eyes of man are never satisfied. Oh, if I had them as a spouse, oh, my life would be complete. Then you get them. Well, I kind of want them over there as a spouse. So let me kick you to the curb. I'll get them over there. The eyes of man are never satisfied. Never. Never. So these are just the six of the Ten Commandments that deals with our relationship with our fellow man. What about the first four commandments that deal with our relationship with God? The first commandment says that God is to be first. That we should love God with all of our heart, souls, mind, and strength. Is God first in your life? Now, we'll sit here and say, yes, God is first. I give honor to God who's the head of my life. Cut it out. God is not first in your life, and you know it. God isn't first. The second commandment says no idols. No, we know an idol is anything or anyone we put in front of God. A relationship, a job, your children, your spouse, hobby, habit, anything or anyone we give our time, talent, and treasure to becomes a god in our lives. Oh, the third commandment says, do not take the Lord's name in vain, or do not take the name of Jesus, the precious name of Jesus, the name that demons tremble, the name that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. We take that name. The name by which we're saved, there's salvation and no other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We take that name, that holy name, and bring it down to a level to describe our anger, our disgust, or our frustration. Oh, my God, Jesus Christ, God. And we do it all the time, all the time. I remember teaching the commandments to my children when they were little kids. And so it was just funny to see them as they were growing up and they knew about the third commandment. And they hear friends and classmates. Oh my God, they said, oh my G-O-D. See, they were even afraid to say, they say, oh my G-O-D. Because they understood about violating the third commandment. One of the most precious things you can do for your children, teach them the Ten Commandments. It's written on their conscience already. So if you teach them to memorize what that is on the inside that's pricking them when they do something, then when they're away from you, that conscience will deal with them. When they violate it, it'll be like, ooh. Oh, that's the fifth commandment. Mommy and daddy taught me that's the fifth commandment. That's the sixth commandment. See, it'll confirm what's already on their conscience. So don't take the Lord's name in vain. The fourth one is keep the Sabbath day holy, which means that you take at least one day a week that you set aside, that you dedicate to worshiping God. Oh. Some of you come to church once a month and you having a good month. The Bible says at least taking one day that you come together collectively to worship the Lord. At least one day. At least. Well, for some of you come four Sundays in a row, oh, it's revival in your house. There are people that can go months, call themselves Christians, that can go months without even stepping foot in church, and they think it's okay. I was talking to somebody last Wednesday, and I mentioned something about this, and something about church or something, and I forgot what it was in the message that I had mentioned, and so she said that hit her, you know, because there's times she just say, I'm just going to sit at home. Oh, because I was saying that Christian TV doesn't replace church. Some of y'all think it does. Well, you know, I ain't go to church, so, you know, I watched it on TV. So that replaced your church is what you're saying. It doesn't do that. So we were talking, and I said, let me give you an example of how important church is. Several reasons I can give you. That's a whole separate message. But let me just tell you what I told her. I said, let's say that your gift is your thumb here at our church. Your thumb. She said, okay. I said, now, I can grab this towel here, and if you're not here, we can get by, but not like if you're here. Do you see how we can grip this thing when you're here? So when you're fooling around, doing whatever it is you do, and you're not here, let's say you're the heart, and you're not here. We just looking around at each other. There's no life, cause you pump the blood through us. Let's say you're a ligament. You know what the purpose of the ligament? The purpose of the ligament is keep the bone from popping out of joint. Without you being here, we popping out of joint at each other. We ready to knuckle up with each other and stuff. But you keep us in place. You're a peacemaker. You're a ligament. See, so when you're not here, we can get by, but not like if you're here. See, people don't think, and I was telling them, I said, you know what? I said, people were going, and there, it's Wednesday night, so people were going out the door. I said, each one of these people are important. You see, they're all important here. They're all important here. So do you see? So if you're fooling around like, I'm not important. They ain't gonna miss me if I'm not here. You are important. You provide something here. It's part of the body of Christ. That's why the church is called the body of Christ. Maybe you medical people, y'all can help me, but I have no clue of what the spleen does, but I know it's something inside the body that's both filter and do something. I don't know. Maybe you're a spleen. You're some spleen. Whatever that is. Help filter some stuff. I don't know. But you're important. You're important. See, you know, doctor today, oh, we can just go take that out. You got another spare and all. Hey, God put all that stuff in there for a reason. Oh, because we don't quite understand it all the way. He put all that stuff in there for a reason. You know, stuff pumping and carrying on this tube and stuff. So God knows what he's doing. You're important to the body. Don't think that if you're not here, it's just no big deal. It's a big deal. Oh, just think. Now, we have... I do my job and I train and that sort of thing. Hey, we can get by. If I'm not here, there's folks that come up and teach and give you a good word. You get by, won't you? But you want me here. Am I right? You don't think I want you here? Just a thought. You don't think I want you here? I look out there and I see you. And if I don't see you, then when I do see you, I'm like, I ain't seen you in a while. Because I want you here just like you want me here. Oh, boy, I didn't say none of that stuff first service. So y'all getting it right now. So these are the Ten Commandments that are written on every man's conscience. This is why Romans 1:20 says, man will be without excuse when he or she stands before God. Why? Because they have the witness of creation and the witness of their conscience. Even in the jungles of South America or Africa, they know that it is wrong to steal his neighbor's axe. Why? Because you shall not steal is written on his conscience. You shall not kill is written. It doesn't matter. It says it's written on every man's conscience, excusing him or else accusing him. Now that Jesus came, this is where the twist comes in. Now that Jesus came 2,000 years ago, God is now commanding all men everywhere to repent, like Acts 17 verse 30 says, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by Jesus Christ. This is why God has placed it upon different people's heart to go around the world to tell the people in remote areas about Jesus Christ, that the Creator God, who has blessed them with rain, fruitful seasons, and good, has sent his only begotten son to die for their sins. And if they would repent and put their faith and trust in him, they shall be saved. This is the reason why God has commanded all men, notice all men everywhere, to repent, because he's appointed a day by which he's going to judge the world by Jesus Christ. So that would mean they need to hear about Jesus Christ. Let me give you a story I just saw last night. Just saw a video of this group of people. Is some remote island somehow connected to India, but it's some remote island that whenever anyone tried to get close to them, oh, these folks just gave them the business. They just didn't know. Folks didn't know the language and just trying to, and it's just crazy. To the point where India said, they passed a law, said you cannot get within 3 miles of this island or you're going to be in trouble. They were that vicious. So someone, got there and kind of learned a couple of words or whatever, and know that they love coconut. Coconut is really good for them, and they can do a lot of things with coconut, but they didn't have any. So they got on this boat and kind of floated, and, you know, somebody videoing, probably had a phone videoing, and they were just throwing these coconuts to them, and they were like looking, you know, they're grabbing them, you know, wiry in their eyes, and they're grabbing them, and, you know, they were like, who are these folks? And they were saying those couple of words that they learned. Some language. I don't even know the people group. It's just nuts. But the reason why they were doing that, they're showing them goodness so they can ultimately win their trust to share the gospel with them. See, God placed that on some group of people's heart to get after this people group these people that were just savages according to society. And they wanted to share Jesus Christ because they understood this verse that God has commanded all men everywhere to repent because one day they're going to be judged by Jesus Christ. So they're saying, if we got to give them some bags of coconuts in order to win their trust, in order to share Jesus Christ with them, this is what we're going to do. We're going to risk our lives in order to do it. Now, the sad part, I never thought that I would be alive to see this. The sad part is now the world is sending missionaries to America. Because we have become so ungodly and have become so liberal, and because we have so many non-Christians here. Why aren't Christians here in America going out to reach non-Christians around us or around the world like we used to lead the way? There are several reasons. I'm only going to give you three. Number one, fear. Fear. We're afraid to speak for God. Jesus, he told the disciples, he says that when my spirit come upon you, he said, you shall receive power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He said, I'm going to give you the power, the dunamis, the dynamic power needed to be a witness. We don't rely upon the Spirit of God, so we're afraid. And so we don't speak for God. The Bible said the righteous are as bold as a lion. We don't see that today. We don't see the righteous, those who call themselves believers, being bold. We don't see that today. We see a bunch of chickens, you know. We're not as bold as a lion. We're more like Simba instead of Mufasa. If y'all got kids or grandkids, you know. So that's the first reason, fear. Number two is a big one. Political correctness is the reason why we don't share anymore. We don't want to offend anyone. And the gospel offends. When you tell someone that they are a sinner that need to be saved, that will be offensive to them. The gospel offends. You speak the truth in love, but it still will offend. What do you mean? I'm a sinner and I'm going to hell. I'm offended. Oh, okay. I won't say anything else to you. Political correctness. Satan is very crafty. How he crafted. I never thought I would live in this kind of world. That political correctness was going to be prevalent throughout our country to the point where it shuts us up. And Satan, all he wants to do is shut us up. So he'll do whatever he can to craft things, to shut us up. And here it is, political correctness. The third reason we don't share the gospel is number three, disobedience. Disobedience. Luke 10:2 says, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Jesus said that the harvest of souls is great. Watch this. So great that there are not enough laborers to bring them all in. But here's the solution from Jesus. Pray to him, the Lord of the harvest, to send out laborers into the harvest. This is where disobedience come in. Watch this. Well, this is where disobedience comes in. Watch this. Either we aren't praying or we aren't going. One of the two. Jesus said that the harvest is great, but there are not enough laborers out there. But if you pray to me, I will stir up some more laborers to go out. So once again, we are either not praying or we sense that we need to share the gospel with people, and we're just not doing it. We're just not doing it. Either way, it is disobedience. Now, with Paul preaching this sermon to them about God being creator and how God had been to them and how good he's been to them, did it stop the people from offering up sacrifices to them? Verse 18 says, and with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitude from sacrificing to them. Oh, it stopped them at the moment. But what happened next? You know, you got to wait until next time. We pick it up. In the following verse, in verse 19, we'll pick it up. Let me conclude with this. We're only human. Yes, we are. And we saw how Paul and Barnabas didn't allow these people to deify them to God status. They pointed them to the God of creation. So, when people are thanking you a little too much, that is the time for you to point them to God as creator. I appreciate, you know, hey, but it's God who gave me the gifts and ability. Thank you so much. But, you know, it's the Lord. It's his strength. I couldn't do this on myself. Now it's time. See, when it's nothing wrong with thanking you. Notice I said when they're thanking you too much. Now it's time to shift their focus back on the God of creation. We also saw how Paul used different methods on different people. To the Jews, he used Old Testament scriptures. And for the Greeks, he used God as creator. So with these ideas in mind, when you're dealing with church people or someone with a church background, use the Bible. With people with no church or Christian background, use God as creator, but with either one, use the law, the Ten Commandments, to bring a knowledge of sin. It is written on every man's conscience. The question is, do you need to repent and get into a right relationship with Jesus Christ? Maybe as we were going through the Ten Commandments, they brought a knowledge of your sin. And so it's time to repent today and surrender your life to him. Because, see, many people call themselves Christians, but they never came through the door of repentance. You never repented of your sin. You just maybe said some kind of prayer, but you never came through the door of repentance. Because you never were brought face to face with your sin until today. Now is the time to surrender your life to him. When you have an encounter with God, the creator of the universe, your life will never be the same again. It's not one of those things, well, I got to go to church. No, you get to go. Oh, I better read this Bible. No, you want to read about the one who sent his son to die for your sins. I better throw up this token prayer. No, you get to talk to the one who loves you. The desires are changed. And there's too many people who have churchianity and not Christianity. You have religion but not a relationship. And today that can change. There's going to be some people available to pray with you about these things. Father, thank you so much for your word. We pray your spirit will move in our hearts. We pray, God, that you would do a work among your people here, that your spirit would draw them to Jesus Christ, bring a conviction of sin. Lord, that you will bind the work of the enemy, trying to tell people that they're okay and they never repented of their sin. God, draw your people to you. Your word is true. Your word is power. And Lord, we pray you draw your people unto yourself in Jesus' name. Amen.
If the Word Made Plain has been a source of inspiration and encouragement to you, why not consider becoming a Word Made Plain giving partner to keep this listener-supported program on the air? As a giving partner, you join forces with Calvary Chapel Newport News' kingdom vision of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can make your tax-deductible gift online at calvarynn.org or send your gift of any amount to 15553 Warwick Boulevard, Newport News, Virginia 23608, and receive a gift from Calvary Chapel Newport News as our thank you. In addition to your financial support, we ask that you pray for the Word Made Plain broadcast, that it touches hearts and generates change in the lives of people around the world. We pray you've been blessed by God's Word today and hope you'll tune in next time to hear the Word Made Plain.